Tuesday morning? Seven?
It's, what? It's like the force is with us, if you will. That force has a name.
Yes. I hear. It's Princess Leia.
Oh, my.
Hello.
I just pictured her with the side buns,
yes,
and everything.
The side buns, the cinnamon rolls
the
on the
buns,
side of your,
yeah,
head. Yeah. Good morning, Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away.
Oh, my God. I've been called a lot of things, but not the force lately.
Not the force.
Anyway. And that could have a lot of different connotations to it. But
well,
good morning, Kelly.
Pick your favorite
morning,
one and roll
Steve.
With it.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness is right.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. I'm so glad you're just to get you on the air this morning. And, man, what a topic. Fake Christians. Ouch.
Well, big ouch. I've worked with a few this week, and so it's apropos that we talk about it. I mean, the thing is, it's not about judging people who are pretending to be somebody they're not, which obviously God doesn't like much, but it's a damage it does to those Christians who are, you know, stumbling in their own faith because of it. And that's the issue. It's the fallout. You know, God will deal with that, those people, but the fallout is horrific from young people to old. So I thought we would just kind of attack it and see what's uncovered there. I think there's a lot of people asking, why do bad people get away with so much? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm good and I struggle, and those guys don't even know God and they're doing well. And so, yeah, so I think it's a question that a lot of people might have on their mind.
Well, it is a good one. So, I don't know what God has in mind, but what does he do with those who actually claim to be Christian, but just simply aren't?
Yeah, and the thing is, there are people that trust in Jesus, and but just struggle with a low self-image, and they just can't believe that a God would really love them. And, you know, that's a whole different ballgame. We're not talking about that particular issue. We're talking about a person. First of all, a Christian is a person who has by faith received and fully trusted Jesus as their Savior, who died on the cross to pay the penalty of their sin. That is death. And we know that the Holy Spirit lives in all who believe. And as Scripture even says in Romans 8:9, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. I mean, Scripture is so clear about what a Christian is. And then Christ goes on to, if you love me, you'll obey me. And the charge to love God and love others. I mean, it's a clear and simple and powerful message to all human beings. This is what it means to be Christian. And this is what I expect you to be. No one who embraces the beliefs of a false religion or a cult is a Christian, because they reject the death and resurrection of Jesus. They reject the idea, the truth, that Jesus is God, the Savior, period. And the thing is, as Christians, if our lives do not reflect the very nature of God, the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the chances are that we are at best a hypocrite or not a Christian at all. And I think we just have to come to terms to this. You know, it is impossible for a child of God to spew hate for one another, to cry out death to the unborn, and then flip the switch and go to church and pretend to be this, you know, this holier than thou kind of person. It is for an onlooker. It is somebody who is being confused. They're angered by this. And I think from God's perspective, he sees it as disgusting. I mean, we as Christians have got to be light. And for those who are purporting to be Christians and hateful in the workplace or wherever they go, or treating people who work for them or whatever the situation, as less than, I'm sorry, but I would call that into account as extreme hypocrisy or the idea that they're really not Christians at all.
So then what exactly does God have to say about that in his word, Nancy? Because it is in his word.
He has plenty to say. Yeah, he has plenty to say to the liar and to the hypocrite and to the deceiver. Those who hurt others, he has plenty to say. And I think the problem is that if people think all I have to do is just mentally assent to the idea that Jesus died and rose again, just mentally, emotionally, that's not what it is, because God looks on the heart, not on our words. He is holy. God is just. And what we need to understand is that he will hold everyone accountable as to how we live our lives. And that's the issue. And for those that are worried that they're getting away from with something, I don't, trust me, they're not. God will hold all of us accountable. And we see in Luke 8:17, for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. In James 1:26, you know, James has a way of just kind of throwing it out there. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. And then Isaiah 5, 20:21, you know, which is so prevalent today. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. So that's what God has to say about it.
Well, it's not also just something that happens in the body. This is in the church. It's leadership. What about pastors and leadership who really aren't?
Yeah, and this is the thing. A pastor is called by God to lead his people. And we just need to keep this in mind. If you have a pastor, and I know several of them being in the business that I am, in a ministry I am, who really don't like people much. They kind of hide from them, just to be honest with you. And I know some of you are laughing out there because, oh yeah, I have that pastor actually. But essentially, pastors in churches who are far more passionate about filling pews of their corporateness in their, that they've made their churches, than they are in preaching the truth. And this is hugely an issue. They're the ones who will preach what makes people feel good, who will make people say, hey, come and hear this guy. You'll feel so good after you hear him, you know, rather than speak the truth of the Bible that convicts us of our sins and leads us and others to accept forgiveness for our sins through Christ so that we might be that light when we leave church and we go into the world and we go into our families. You know, there's so many out there in the pastorate, and trust me, I think this is an accountability issue, but pastors have, I think, the hardest job of anybody in the world to be those who are speaking for God. And, you know, it's easy for them to become derailed for a lot of reasons. But in particular, this week, I have run into pastors who are writing books. They get themselves on television and on the internet, whatever. But the idea is, what are they doing to build up the souls in their church? Is this a popularity contest or what is it? And I think the heat is that we've got to realize that the churches are hurting. They need a pastor. They need somebody to speak truth to them. And I think those who aren't, I mean, Matthew 7, which to me is the scariest chapter in the whole Bible, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And then James says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. So there it is, a caution to everyone. Please, please come back to the word. Preach the word if you're a pastor. Please, people need to hear it. And I tell you, I wouldn't want to be a pastor who wasn't. I'll just say that.
Yeah. And we're talking with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Biblical Worldview Ministry based in Carmel. And we're going to take a short break, Nancy, but when we come back, you know, I know we talked about pastors, but we also want to talk about false teachers and even specifically cult leaders. What does God do with that? How do we recognize who they are? We're going to discuss that with Nancy in just a few minutes.
We're in the midst of our biblical worldview question of the week. We're home stretching it right now. Kelly, aren't we?
We are. We were just talking with Nancy Fitzgerald about false Christians, false pastors, false leaders. But we wanted to ask you too, Nancy, about false teachers and how do we recognize a false teacher, like a cult leader, for example?
Yeah, you know, cults are so hard. They just suck so many people into their false way of thinking because they're on the outside, they're so kind and loving. And these so many people that are in cults are not evil, dark people. They're just kind people who are looking for love and encouragement. And sadly, they choose false religions and cults instead of the truth. I wonder why. You know, I don't wonder why. But, you know, that's why we as Christians have got to step it up and reach out to these people because somebody is. And if somebody else is, it's so sad. But the cult leaders will claim to have the inside track on truth. They reject Jesus as being God. That is the key for all false religions and all cults. They reject Jesus as God. And they reject the Bible in favor of their own religious books. And the thing is, people are coming into these false churches, these false religions, these cults at an amazing rate. The thing is, what happens to their leaders? Those charlatans that are purporting to be, you know, their pastors of truth. And 2 Corinthians, boy, Paul really nails it here. For such men, he says, are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. In other words, translated, God knows they will face judgment. 1 John 4:1-2, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the spirit of God. And here it is, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. There it is. And then Matthew 7, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes will not be gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles, are they? And this is the thing. What fruits do they bear? Do they bear people coming to Christ? Or do they bear people that are stuck in the work system who have to continue to be better and better and better? With no grace. It's so sad to me. It is really sad that so many people have been misled and will in the future as well.
Well, we've just got about 2 minutes, Nancy. So how do we as Christians guard against the influence of false teachers? How do we protect ourselves against that?
Yeah, and that's a great question and a great way to end. I think when choosing a church, we have to read the doctrinal statement. And we have to talk to people who attended the church to see what is the source of the truth. What do they believe? From where does that come? And do they believe that Jesus is God? That is, again, the key. Now, the problem is, though, Steve, with less than 2% of Christians who know why they believe or what they believe, you know, most of those who identify as Christians, they think they're Christians, but they're misled. With the church's failure to ground students in biblical worldview, the younger generation, those that we work with, those that we train people to teach, they do not know how to defend their belief in Jesus. They do not know how to live in a hostile culture. Therefore, we're losing the battle with these young people as well as those sitting in the pews. And we simply have our work cut out for us. And I think in closing, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is judge of the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teacher to suit their own passions. They will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, here it is. Always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And there you have it. I think our call is to love God passionately and to love others. That's what we're called to do. We have to stand on truth. If not, what are our lives worth? What is our ministry worth? Yeah. It's worth nothing. That's scary.
That is beyond scary, man. Nancy, this has been really good today. I mean, this is something that we've got to be on the lookout for. We have got
for
to
sure.
be wise and watch and hold one another accountable, make sure nobody gets left behind, and that we're doing what God would have us to do. So, man, we're out of time, unfortunately, but we appreciate this and want to let all of you know you can connect with Nancy Fitzgerald and the Anchors Away Ministry, especially if you have a young person in your family, older high school, about to graduate, going into college, and they need biblical worldview so they don't wander away from their faith, so they know how to defend their faith and walk out their faith. You really should get connected. You can find out more by clicking on the resources tab at morningswithkellyandsteve.org. Nancy, thank you for this. You have a fantastic week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Can't wait. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon. Hey, Randy Ellis. Boy, I tell you, there's some weathermakers out there on just rolling across the plains toward us.